Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. On this Monday Hasty Treat, we're going to be talking about automation and things that you can do with your own workflows that we do, and just give you a little bit of insight into some of the stuff that we do to make our lives easier on a day-to-day basis, whether that's recording or devving or any of this stuff. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I am the creator of Level Up Tutorials, full stack developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, folks.
Hey, Wes. Wouldn't it be fun if your nickname was The Boss and then you could have like Wes, The Boss, Boss?
That would be really cool. People always call me, hey, boss.
Yeah.
Like when you're at like a, a shawarma place or something like that.
I feel like they should.
Like, hey, boss, what do you want? I'm like, do you know me or are you just calling me boss? Like, because that's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I approve. Cool. So this episode is sponsored by Sentry. Now, Sentry is one of those really key things, part of my workflow that allow me to track all of my errors and exceptions. I look at my Sentry just about every single day. I get alerts for regressions and all sorts of stuff like that. So if you want to check out Sentry, head on over to Sentry.io and use the coupon code TASTYTREAT to get 2 months for free. Let me tell you just a little bit more about what I'm using Sentry for right now. So I have Sentry all the time on both my API and my front end of my site. One of the coolest things you can do inside of Sentry is to mark a bug as has been confirmed that you've completed this. So let's say I got this bug and it says cannot read property underscore ID of undefined. Okay. I can then go and then find within my React component or whatever it may be where I'm trying to read a property from something that doesn't exist. I push an update. And then I go ahead and say, hey, this was resolved, and this was resolved in the next release, or even the current release, or even a very specific release. I can attach these things to releases directly. So I can just say, check, checkbox, you were resolved in this release. And then, I'm sitting at home, I'm watching TV, and I get a little buzz on my phone and says, regression. And I can see that I had a regression in this bug and I didn't actually fix it the way I wanted to. And sure enough, that the release I pushed out did not fix it. So these are the kind of tools that you get with Sentry at Sentry.io, stuff that I absolutely rely on in my day-to-day life. So this episode is going to be talking about other things that we rely on in our day-to-day life in coding workflows. And these are going to be automation workflows, things that we just use to make everything easy. And we're going to be talking about some home automation stuff, some bash scripts, some Alfred stuff, and maybe just a little bit of miscellaneous things as well. Do you want to kick it off? I think the first thing we want to talk about is Alfred.
Yeah, a big fan of Alfred myself. It's, if you don't know, Alfred is this like little Mac app that I personally hit Alt space and it pops open Alfred and you can launch apps from it. You can install extensions. Like I use one to convert HTML entities from one to another. So if you have like EXONT aigu and you want to know like what is that in the HTML entity, like ampersand EXONT aigu semicolon, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but you can just type it in there. I'm going to do it right now.
That's pretty sweet.
So I just type D or encode E-R. You know what? My laptop is in the shop right now and I haven't installed all of my Alfred extensions to this new one. So I would be able to tell what it was or the times. And then I have another one that will do the other way around where you can decode ampersand times and it will show you what the equivalent one is and it will show you base64. And I've got all these like different plugins that I use with Alfred and we've talked about that in the past. But another thing Alfred allows you to do is workflows where you can say like, when I type this thing in, go off and do these things. And it has this awesome editor where you can string together different tasks and whatnot. And quite honestly, I don't have any of my own custom workflows for that. But after seeing what you have here, I'll let you talk. I kind of want to build some of my own.
Yeah, I have a couple that are great. And I've been recently getting more and more into these. I goofed around with them a little bit in the past, but I have a few that I've been using right now a whole lot. One of them, the first one is the most basic. I have one that changes my audio inputs. So I can just do like, oh, is my audio playing through the wrong thing? So I can just toggle my audio input. Okay, that's just minor. But the major ones I have are ones that actually prepare me for my different work environments. One of the things that I really struggle with is occasionally, I don't want to say focusing, but it's my brain's all over the place. So I have a hard time necessarily shutting everything down. And if I have stuff here or there or whatever, I'm likely to sort of bounce around or maybe glance on Reddit or something like that. So I've been really trying to make my life automated in those ways that I don't have to think about some things. So for instance, I have one that I just called record. So if I do Alfred and I can just type REC and it, you know, finds the right one. And what this does is it closes every single app on my computer. It then turns on my focus blocking software so that I can't visit any social media sites or any blogs or any of that stuff. And then it opens up the apps that are required. So it will open up my screen flick, it will open up VS Code, it will open up Chrome, it will open up anything that I need for my recording. I think that's it. Let me check. It opens up Notion as well, because I keep my notes in Notion. And that's pretty much it here. That way I can have everything up and running and nothing else. And it this ensures that, which is something that I really need more and more now. I don't know why, but it's getting harder for me to focus. So I'm making my things happen more like that. I also have one for syntax, which closes everything, but then opens up Logic, Zoom, and Notion. And it also has Chrome open too, just so I can look up notes and things like that. So using these little workflows are really great. There's not a lot of great ways, though, to make these super shareable, these ones that I have, because what I've done for the ones that close apps, I've written Apple scripts to do them, and it's not going to fit your workflow entirely. It's kind of hard to just share because it's not something you can just plug and play. I just wrote this whole thing in Apple scripts, but you can definitely find workflows and things like this online that you can copy and paste. It's largely what I did is copied and paste these from other places, but I definitely rely on these and I've been using them more and more. I'd like to get into combining some of my bash script, ZSH script, I guess, stuff. I guess it's not a ZSH, whatever. My ZSH functions. I'd like to combine some of those with some of these to make these gigantic transformer workflow things, but I have not had that happen yet.
That's such a good idea.
It's a great idea.
The cool thing about Alfred is you can always kick out to any like script that you want. So whether it's a PHP script or a Node script or a Bash script or anything, you can just kick out to that and then receive the data back and then display it in your Alfred output or throw it in the clipboard, whatever it is that you want. I think it's really important. If you have a hard time with the sort of setup, being like, I'm going to record a video today, but like, oh, then I have to close all my windows. You have all this like sort of stuff blocking you. Automating all of that. Same with like starting a new website. You're like, I don't feel like starting a new site today. If you could just automate that all. And like when I was doing WordPress, I would just have like a one key command or one shell command, and it would automatically create the folders for me. It would give me a new Photoshop file. It would give me a fresh WordPress. It would create a database. It would change the words in the WP config file. And like all of that is like, and then like I was up and running. I was like, okay. Huh. Like I'm done the boring part. Now I can actually get into the fun stuff, which is actually building it. So automate away the boring and the monotonous, because that is often a blocker in terms of getting actual work done.
Totally. And that's sort of what I'm about right now, is about getting all this stuff. One thing I really wish Alfred could do is I wish it could really quickly and easily integrate with my Google Assistant stuff, because I have some home flows, my smart home routines, that I would love to be able to include in this. I would love to be able to type an Alfred command and have my smart home routines just happen. I found it's maybe possible, but not exactly obvious. There's like some Python thing library to integrate with it, but it hasn't been touched in a little while. It's a little iffy. That said, we also have some smart home routines here. I don't know if you do a ton of this stuff, but I use a lot of these. I tell my routines that I'm recording. And one of the things it does is it turns off my studio monitors. That way I don't get any sort of digital hum there or anything coming out of my studio monitors, or no accidental noise coming out of them. I also, it turns off my air conditioning because the air conditioning unit's right outside my office. I also have vents in here. And what this does is it just prevents any of that low hum in my office. It also turns on my office lights and turns on my desk. My desk includes my monitor and all sorts of stuff with my audio stuff. So I have a recording one. I also have an intros one where it turns on my studio lights for when I record the introductions for all of my videos. I have one that says, I just tell Google that I'm working and it turns on my studio monitor so that I could listen to music, listen to podcasts or any of that stuff. Turns on my desk, just gets my office ready to go. And then I have a shut it down routine called Shut It Down that runs every day at 6 p.m. And it shuts off my desk. It turns off every single outlet in my office except for one, which is the Wyze Cam I have that's pointing into my backyard. That's actually, I know you have Wyze Cam set up outside, but for me,
yeah.
I have a really nice window spot in my office that can I just point out the window, and I use a little magnet mount thing that they come with, and I have it just pointing out the window so I can get my whole backyard and a Wyze Cam through the glass.
Does the IR at night not reflect off the glass though?
I haven't had issues with that, but it's like pushing up against the glass. It's not like a distance away from it. It's right up on there.
Okay. Because I thought I could do that at some point, but I put one in my office pointing out the window. And then at night, when you want night vision, it was just reflecting the IR off the glass and that you could just see the camera itself.
That's funny. I should check on that. I don't think I've had that issue.
No.
Then again, I just don't glance at it that much.
Yeah, we put some in some outdoor enclosures, which they've only been running for 2 weeks, but they're going strong. But Wyze themselves have said we're testing an outdoor camera right now. So I bet in the next couple of months we'll see an outdoor camera.
For sure.
Cool. I just have a couple of those little, they're up through Google Home as well. We have one called, it's called Shutter Down. And you just say, okay, Google, shut her down. Oh, sorry if I just tripped your thing. And that turns off the TV.
Gorgle. We forgot about Gorgle.
Gorgle. Turns off all the lights. I used to have it turn the thermostat down, but then I just figured you could just automate that anyway. So I took that off. And then we have a wake up as well, which turns the lights to like 12% in the morning. And it's pretty nice to be able to do that. Past that, I don't really have any other smart home routines. I think as I'm getting more and more stuff that is smart in my house, I'll probably start getting into that.
Oh man, I got a lot of routines that aren't necessarily even a part of my office. Like we have these porch dangly lights that come on at a certain time. The lights throughout the house, maybe starting at 6 o'clock, progressively get dimmer. So that way we, you know, the evening time, 9 o'clock rolls around, the lights are all dim. We're not all just being blasted with light. So we're, you know, ready to go to sleep. So I rely on these things a lot. I really have a fun time really playing with these routines. For some reason, it's something that I could just do endlessly. I really enjoy setting these up. It's like, I don't know. I'm really into it. So the next one we want to talk about was bash scripts and aliases. I use a lot of aliases for stuff more so than I use functions or scripts. I don't, you know, functions are fine, but aliases just really do the job a lot of the time for me. I have one that is just G, which runs git add period, and then it runs git commit hyphen M, and there's an argument of, you know, the thing. So I can just type G and then my commit message, and then that adds any untracked files and then commits them. Really nice and easy. I hate having to type git add blah git commit hyphen M.
Yeah,
you know, like
that's the worst.
Come on. So I have that. I have one that's just push, that just does git push origin with an argument. So push master, push develop. I also have one called LUT, L-U-T. So I can just, I just open up a new tab, L-U-T, and what it does is it changes directories into my level up tutorials directory, and then runs yarn, and then runs yarn start. So that way I can get my whole application just up and running with a one little commander, just that L-U-T. I'm sure I have lots more, to be honest, but these are the ones I use primarily. I use these all the time. Those are the ones that I'm a big fan of.
I've got a handful as well. I sort of, depending on the project that I have, I sort of just add them as I go. One that I use everywhere is git ac, exactly what you said. It adds everything and commits it with whatever message I pass it. I have that as I used to have it as like a bash script, but I changed it to be a git alias, git script. Mm. Did I? Hold on. hold on.
hold the phone here.
Yeah, it's not a, it is a, it's in my like my Git config file. So it is a proper Git one. I don't know what the benefit of making it a Git alias other than
that is
versus something else, but I did. I use Z a lot. So Z is like a thing that will allow you to jump to frequent directories, which is frequent and recent mixed together. So you just say like Z, I call my thing boss monster. So I just type Z monster and it will put me in the monster, or I'll do Z monster backend and it will put me in the backend folder inside of my boss monster folder. So that has done away with a lot of my aliases because it's just smart and it learns based on what paths you go to. So I deleted a whole bunch of my things. I have one just called like DB and it puts me in my Dropbox folder.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I have one called T, which uses this utility called tree. If you, I think it's brew install tree. And it, what that will do is give you a nice tree listing of your directory. And then I can just say T3. And that what it will do is it'll give me three levels of directories, and then it will ignore DS store, node modules, and a couple other files that I don't necessarily want to see. And that's great for tutorials to sort of just give people a visual as to where the files are and where we currently are.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
I have one called Zorse, which just...
that sounds like an alien race.
Zorse, yeah. That will just source the ZSHRC file and then move back to the directory where we currently we used to be. Because if you ever make edits to your ZSH file, you have to close the terminal and open it up again. But if you type source ZSHRC and then go back into that directory, that will allow you to sort of stay where you are in the headspace. So I just made a quick little alias or actually it's a function called Zorse.
Hmm.
And I've got a couple other. I used to make animated GIFs on the command line, but that, I don't do that any longer just because there's a lot other better apps out there for creating animated GIFs.
Interesting. I forgot one that I use all the time. And we'll have this in the show notes, but I use one that I have as rnpm. And what it does is it removes my node modules folder recursively from every directory. So like, let's say I'm running low on, well, okay. So I should note that I create a lot of repos when I do my courses because I duplicate repos. I do a lot of stuff there. And I occasionally get a ton of node modules folders. So I can just point, I just do rnpm when I'm in the sites directory. And that's going to find every single node modules directory in that thing and delete all of them in one fell swoop. Saving a ton of space. And to be honest, like you don't really probably need those known modules folders anyways. You can just head to your directory and type, you know, yarn or npm install when you're about to work on the project anyways. So I like this rnpm. Again, I'll have the actual syntax for this available in there. So you can check this one out too. I use this all the time.
That's neat. I have some, I can't find what it is right now, but I have something that will search my hard drive for node modules folders and just delete them if I haven't touched the directory more than a month. Somebody built it after on Twitter. I was like, how do I delete? Cause I like you're running out of space on your laptop and node modules. If you have like any sort of like time machine backup or anything, like the 40 million files will make it really slow. So just cleaning those up is really helpful. Cause you can always go back and NPM install them later if you need to.
Yeah, totally.
What else we got here? Other things that we have, I do a lot of, not a lot, but I wish I did more email automation. So, if you're a student, you sign up for a student discount, that will go into a queue and then I can just mark it as approved and then it will automatically send out the email student discount to them. And then it will then check if you had bought it 3 days later. And if you have not bought it 3 days later, it will send a follow-up email being like, hey, is everything okay? Like, did you get the code? And it's both a sales tactic. It sells a lot more courses. And also it's helpful because a lot of people are like, hey, no, I didn't get it. Or, oh, sorry, I checked my junk and it went into there or something like that. So I find that be very helpful. I'd love to get a lot more email automation like that because it's really good for sales. I use Stripe webhooks for a lot of things, specifically if there's a dispute on a charge or if there is, I forget what the other hooks are, but basically if there's anything fishy going on with Stripe or PayPal, it will ping a URL on my on my server, and my server will automatically freeze that person's account.
So are you doing all that with just Node? I mean, even the previous one, the email discount, the student discounts thing, is that all? Are you doing that all with Node?
No, that's all done with Drip, which is my email provider.
Done with Drip. Okay.
They have a whole like a system that you can create these workflows in. So basically, if you look at the workflow, it will the person signs up, they put their email in, and they can email some proof. And then I can go in and tag it as approved. And then it will then send out the email to them that gives them a discount code. And then you say, wait 3 days. And then after 3 days, you have if they have a tag of customer, that's it. If nice. They don't have a tag of customer, then do a follow-up email and say, hey, is everything okay? Do you have any questions? Things like that.
Fun. Cool.
Yeah. And then I have an affiliate payment that's somewhat automated. I still approve it manually because it's kind of scary automating sending people money.
Yes, sure.
but it does a lot of the sort of heavy lifting as to calculating and creating a CSV for me. And then that CSV I can just manually upload to PayPal and send out my affiliate payments.
Mm, very fun. I don't have anything like this. These are all things that I'd be looking to automate more. Like my student discounts, I'm still approving all of those by hand. I look at every single one of those. Anybody time, if you think that's a robot, no, that's me looking at your student account stuff. So I need to fix that. I need to make it better. I need to have it because that sounds nice to just be able to check and click and whatever rather than respond to an email or something. So interesting. Interesting. I would love to.
Yeah.
I've been working on automating some of these processes within my code base a lot more. I mentioned, I think it was in the last episode or a couple episodes ago, about my new importing system, where before I used to have to import the playlist, then import all of the videos, and I had to like copy and paste a whole bunch of stuff. And now I can just paste in the playlist ID, I click import, and it brings in not only the playlist, but all the videos. And if I want to update, I just click it again. I mean, there's like trying to automate that stuff out of my life has been definitely something that I've been wanting to dive more and more into, both within the code as well as these systems.
Yeah, I can't stand doing that sort of like stuff that you have to do every single month. You have to remember to do it, and it has to be done at a certain time. Or like the same thing over and over. It's much better just to write some code and try to automate it.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that we didn't talk about that I mentioned on the recording episode is that I use an app, Divi, and I use it to automate the placement of my windows. So if I want to put my windows in recording mode, ideally my Alfred script could interact with Divi and somehow put all of my windows in recording mode after they open them. But we'll see. Might be one thing that I look into improving at some point in my Alfred script, my Alfred workflows. But that's all I have. I want to hear what kind of automation and cool stuff you are doing to make your dev life better. Even in just simple things, like what are some like fun little aliases or commands that you set up to make your whole process a little bit more seamless and easy for you?
Yes. Tweet us at SyntaxFM. I think that's it for today, though. Anything else to add there, Scott?
I don't have a whole lot. I'm interested in this stuff. If you have any cool, fun tools, let us know.
Cool. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.